That's Kevin Gagnon, bass player by day, electric guitarist by night, with the track A Blues Memory from his first full solo album, It Is What It Is. And that's a collection of his mostly instrumental works spanning his long career on the Windsor, Ontario music scene. Well, we're pleased to welcome Kevin Gagnon into the Folk Roots radio studio today for an in-depth conversation about his music and the new album. It's great to have you join us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So you've been making music, what, for over 30 years now, I think?
Well over 30 years. Yeah, I've been playing since I was a kid, but I've been playing out professionally since 78.
Wow. So how did things start off for you? Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you decided you wanted to get into music.
Well, it started when I was about 8, 9 years old. I used to watch a lot of the players. I had some uncles and cousins who used to play together doing country jamborees. I'd be listening to them. We'd be doing, you know, the Sunday Park kind of thing. And I'd go and listen to them. And for some reason, I was drawn more to the sound of the bass than rather than to the guitar or fiddle or anything like that. But one of my cousins showed me a couple of patterns on there, and I tried it, and I've been hooked ever since.
You know, I always kind of wondered because, you know, the album is you playing electric guitar and bass, but I always kind of wonder, you know, when people are bass players, is that because all of the other instruments are taken when they first decide they want to make music? But in your situation, it sounds like you are really taken by the sound of that bass guitar.
Yeah, it was just something about the tonality of it that sort of drew me to it. Like guitar, I do like guitar. It's a very expressive instrument. But for the bass, I find, especially in conjunction with drums, it tends to drive a tune a lot better than just having a guitar and drums, because it's, you know, you can say so much more with one note than you can with five or six.
So the bass guitar, was that the first instrument that you learned then?
Pretty much, yeah. I dabbled a little bit on guitar. My brother's always had one around the house. I'd play around with it every once in a while, but I've always been more comfortable playing a bass line than I was forming chords or whatever and playing on lead.
So when you play with an electric guitar, that is something that you really do for fun then?
I started pretty much to do it for fun, here and there, especially when we were touring on the road. You didn't have much to do, right? So we'd kick around, you know, fool around with songs and that. But I didn't seriously start working on guitar till like my mid-20s, because I wanted something to help me get some songs out that, you know, I had lots of ideas in my head, but no way to put them out. So I had to improve on my guitar playing to get out what I wanted to do. So basically, I just it was a tool for me to help get my song ideas out.
What was the first band you played in?
Oh, there was quite a few bands. Well, mostly garage bands and, you know, buddies getting together on the weekends and that when you're a kid. The first real band I kind of had the experience with was playing in a high school jazz band. I wasn't in the music program, but I played with them for like 2 years. So I learned most of my parts there just by ear. And reading was always slow to me. It's getting worse now with my glaucoma. I can barely see the notes anymore. So I primarily read by ear.
So when you started, then that was as a bass guitarist in high school?
As a bass, yep. In 2 years I did that. Yep.
Yeah. And that was when you started to get a reputation as somebody that could be relied on to play bass when you needed somebody?
Yeah, actually, it got me into playing bass on quite a few like private parties and a few high school things here and there, a few assemblies and whatever, pep rallies. It was always fun.
Yeah. So you mentioned 78. Was that the real start of you in music as more of a serious thing?
Well, not really, because I just started playing out with friends that just wanted to start getting a feel of the bars around town. I started playing at a place called A Bars, that we had the Royal Tavern back there, and I just took it from there and just played around whenever I could, whatever band will have me, you know.
Tell us a little bit about getting started on the Windsor music scene. You know, one of the neat things about Windsor is the whole Windsor-Detroit area. I mean, a phenomenal area for music. It must have been pretty amazing for you to start playing at that time, because I mean, wasn't that the real heyday of music in this area?
Pretty much was. I mean, there were people that were actually lining up to get into the clubs at the time, like, you know, like at the places like the Embassy, the Drop-In, the Canada Tavern. That's just the way the scene was, too. You know, where else were you going to go on a Friday or a Saturday night or during the week or whatever, you know? And it's quieted down quite a bit since then, unfortunately.
And I imagine in those days there would be a lot of people coming across the border to catch the scene on this side, you know,
rather than
just being on the Detroit side with, you know, Motown and Seeger and everybody else.
Yeah, that was when things were a lot more lax before all the trouble started back at the beginning of the century, unfortunately. But we used to go and watch concerts at the Hart Plaza and that all the time in Detroit. And we'd go and we wanted to go to a concert at Cobo. You just pretty much just take the bus over, go over for the night. It's a lot more complicated now.
Yeah, yeah. The first track we played, A Blues Memory, actually was the first piece of your music that I was turned on to because this is one of those amazing interviews. You know, what happens is that I get a press release say, hey, this guy's just put out his first solo album after, you know, you mentioned like, you know, we're talking now 30, 40 years in the music business as a bass player, but it's actually pretty much an electric guitar album. Blues Memory was actually the track that I was first given to listen to showcase. That actually is a tribute song, though, I think to Michael Bruce, who was a stalwart on the blues scene, right?
Yes, he was. He was known for playing at the Aardvark all the time. I used to see him a couple of times with his band he had at the time. And then later on, I had the privilege of working with him on a few projects. And then we just did the blues scene. We helped out with the Blues Society. We played a few of their shows and that. And then after a while, Mike's health started failing him badly. So he had to drop out of the scene and we just lost him this year, unfortunately.
And when did you decide that you wanted to write this tribute?
That was just something to help me cope with that. It was based on a tune that we used to jam out all the time at one of the blues, sort of as a warm-up, like, you know, just like a nice groove kind of feel to it. And Mike would always throw all kinds of stuff to it there. And it became a staple between me and him. I said, you know, we got to sit down, we got to record this sometime because it's just too much fun. But unfortunately, it just never happened. He went downhill and just didn't happen.
Did he get a chance to hear the final version?
No, I finished the final version after he passed.
Oh, yeah. But it's certainly a beautiful tribute. And, you know, from an album, I think, with some great tracks on. Now, what period of time did you pull the tracks together for It Is What It Is?
Okay, well, I've got lots of sketchy ideas put away still, but these are the ones that were pretty much close to finished. And I actually had just one more to finish, which I finished in the studio with Jeffrey David Oppen and at his studio. I just needed one more. I wanted to make 10 on there.
Yeah. No, it's a great job. I'd like to go back to the album and play another track. Now, we've selected Minstrel Cramp to play. What I love about this is that this is a real opportunity to showcase both your bass playing and your electric guitar playing as well. Tell us a little bit about coming up with this track.
Okay, this is just something I put together. I had a really cool groove to a bass line I was playing around with one day there, and I was talking with my friend Jimmy Graham. At the time, he owned a recording studio called In the Basement, and every year he's been putting out a compilation album of local artists to contribute songs to each of these, and he asked me if I wanted a spot on there, and I said, sure, I'd love to. So I went into his studio, and I finished it up the way I perceived it, and played the bass line. I had Ian Acott come in and do real drums. I didn't want programmed drums like I had on the original. I wanted something with more of a real feel, and that came together so beautifully. And Jimmy did all the production work on it, added a few things, a couple suggestions here and there. I worked with Jimmy Graham in the band called Destiny, and we did some touring together. So he pretty much knew my style, so he offered me a lot of helpful suggestions on it. And the end product was just amazing.
I think Destiny, then, that was one of your first, was that one of the first bands that you really started to move with then?
Yeah, one that I really got most notoriety with was that band, because there was actually two versions. One of them, I started with my cousin, Randy Gagne, on vocal. And then later on, we had a female singer named April Abed. And then we just took it off from there. We started playing the local scene and played the clubs, did a little bit of touring to Newfoundland and back. So we all had a great time at it.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have this memory. What I love about this track is, as I said at the start, is the way that, you know, you get to hear that bass rumbling through and then the electric guitar coming in on top.
Oh, yeah. I love that Fender I had. It had such a thunderous sound to her.
Yeah. It's actually obviously one of the benefits of being, you know, adept with both instruments, that, you know, you certainly have the scope to expand what you do. Let's listen to that track just now. This is Kevin Gagnon with Minstrel Cramp from his great new compilation album. It is entitled It Is What It Is. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's Kevin Gagnon with Minstrel Cramp from his new album. It's entitled It Is What It Is. Kevin Gagnon's our special guest in the studio today on Folk Roots Radio. You know, the fun thing about doing this radio show is I get to talk to so many interesting people. To be honest, I don't actually get the opportunity to bring a bass player into the studio to chat about his music. But one of the things I do love to do is to try and learn about why people, you know, love the music that they play. And I have to say, when I received the press release for this new album, when it was released, I thought, well, I've got to talk to this guy because he's been playing music for years. And I just loved the idea that, you know, these were the tracks that you were working on, Kevin. But I wonder, would the people you play with, do they know that you're such a good electric guitar player as well as a bassist?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm really all that great at guitar. I get by with what I know and what I do on it. But primarily, they all knew me as a bass player.
Yeah.
So I'd show up to the gigs, play the tunes, play, you know, everybody's in. Just basically, I would stick to bass. And I've always been more comfortable sitting off more to the side rather than into the front of a band. Always felt more comfortable being a side man rather than a front lead singer or anything, you know, or a soloist. I don't really solo on bass, but I can, but I just don't choose to.
Yeah, I guess that's that whole rhythm section thing. I kind of think it's like the John Entwistle thing, you know, when watching the Who play. And,
oh, exactly.
And he was just so there.
Yeah, so
and,
tight.
And so tight, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Tight with the drums, though.
Yeah.
And that every Who song you listen to, it's got that drive behind it. And, you know, and always have Townsend's ringing guitar. But it wouldn't be the same if you didn't have that. Funny thing about bass is you don't really notice it until it's not there.
Right, right, yeah. So tell us a little bit about the songwriting, because I was checking out your videos before we got together today. And, you know, one of the things that you're talking about, you know, is sort of starting off with a jam, coming up with some ideas and then exploring those. So would you come up with the electric guitar part, for instance, like something like Minstrel Cramp? How did you put that track together?
Oh, that one, I basically wrote the whole song around that same bass line that I started with on there. And I just took it on from there. I just made a couple of different changes little key changes into the song. But basically, it has the same line all the way through it. And then I just added the same thing to the guitar line, which is also like a contra melody to what the bass is doing. And just the blend of it just appealed to me.
Yeah, it's good. I love the rumble of that bass. And, you know, the sometimes I wish that we actually had more of, you know, not necessarily bass solos, because sometimes they're almost a little more than you really need. You know, getting back to what you were saying about, you know, John Entwistle in The Who and some of those other people. It's just, so important in the bands. I'm curious as to who your main influences would be as a bass player.
I always went with, I listened to a lot of CKLW. My mother always had the radio on and playing all the Motown. I was always grooving more to the bass line. Like, as even back then, I was still like drawn to the way the bass sounds. You know, you get that James Jamerson.
James Jamerson, I was going to say, yeah.
It's just a thunderous appearance of, just solid rhythm. You listen to every track that he ever did with a drummer. I mean, it's just so spot on. And that's what I try to do. I try to match with the bass drum all the time and just try to keep that same thump, the same synchronicity. And it helps drive everybody's tunes that way. That's why a lot of people ask me for help with their recordings and that, because they want a bass line that'll match with what they're perceiving with the drums.
So who else, apart from James Jamerson, would you think of as an influence?
Oh, well, definitely John Entwistle. Heavy, heavy player. That's one of my favorites. And
I was wondering about the Wrecking Crew.
Yep. Every song that came from the Wrecking Crew there was just so spot on in those days. It just, you can't not fall in love with that style.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the disco era came out, which is heavily dominated by the bass line. I was playing some disco back in the 70s, too, just to build my chops, basically, and fill in with doing a couple of disco things here and there. And then I just get the feel. They had some great bass lines in those songs. Like, you know, it's so repetitive. You know, it was a drum machine back there all the time. But the bass lines just carried the tunes. Like, you listen to songs like YMCA and all those you know, those from that era.
It's interesting when you, you know, you talk about playing a bit of disco back in the 70s. I mean, I imagine you're mostly blues rock, hard rock type guitar, the, you know, bands that you tend to be involved in. Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like we were starting, when we were touring, we were doing just all covers. Like, you know, we were just a cover band doing a tour. And we did everything from Aerosmith up to like all the Blondie hits and Benatar, you know, all the standards at the time.
Yeah.
That were just coming out.
Yeah. And I think the key was obviously being as tight as possible, which, you know, again, any cover band is really important.
Oh, yeah. And especially try to be spot on every night when you're out there because you're a long way from home.
Yeah. So in those days, were you playing in several bands at the same time? I mean, it seems that's a lot of what people have to do these days, you know, to try and make it in any form as, you know, to have any sort of career in music. People often are taking every gig they can get.
Yeah, more so now than back then. Like then you could be more committed to a band if you could be working. I mean, some clubs were working 6 nights a week, like the Riviera back in the day. We were playing 6 nights a week. I started apprenticing in a tool shop at the time, so I was working 6 days, 6 nights. I don't even know how the hell I had the energy to do it. But that's the thing with that. Get enough work anymore. Like a lot of bars are even going even just a one night. I know all the Legions are. I played in the Legions as well. Eh? They used to be 2 nights. Now they're just 1 night. Because I used to play a lot of 50s and 60s and all that. So, but everybody's going to basically one night anymore. It's getting pretty sad out there.
Yeah. Now, these days you're currently playing with the Formula, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that band.
It's a very fun band. Great bunch of guys. That I play with there. We play everything from Rolling Stones to Collective Soul. We try to cover everything in between, you know, for people to come out. It's just a cover band, but we have fun doing what we do. Everybody brings their certain element of their style to the table, and it just gels very well.
I want to go back to the album and play another track. You know, when we were getting together for the interview, I asked you which ones you would like to play, and you suggested a few, and we've kind of blended my list and your list together to produce the tracks we're going to listen to today. You suggested Today and Forever. Tell us a little bit about that track.
Okay, that one I did in the early 2000s for my niece Ashley's wedding. I actually had some help with that with a friend of mine. I used to play in a band with Mr. Please. His name is Todd LaLonde. And he had a mixer that he let me borrow to finish this project. This was my gift to them for their wedding, something to give for them for the wedding dance. And they both played in bands too, eh? So she was a bass player, he was a guitar player. So I figured I'd give him something like, you know, a little bit more edgy rather than just the like your traditional like dance 1-2 whatever, you know, for the wedding dance. So I thought I'd mix it up a little bit, give him a little bit of element of heavy with that.
So this is for your niece's wedding. Your niece played bass too?
Yes.
Oh, great. Is your own family musical? I don't know how many kids you have.
I just have my son. He's not into it. He was more into hockey in the day. My brothers all played when I was growing up, but I'm the only one that really stuck with it.
Mm.
So life gets in the way, right? You got a family, you got a house, a mortgage, and cars, and work, and it just, a lot of times they just can't commit, you know.
So your son didn't have a feel for music at all, really?
No, he just loves music, but that's all right. Just to have a love for music, I think is great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's what I do every day. So,
it. See what I mean?
Yeah. Let's listen to that track just now. This is Kevin Gagnon with Today and Forever from his new album. It's entitled It Is What It Is. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you. That's Kevin Gagnon with Today and Forever from his new album, It Is What It Is. Kevin Gagnon is our special guest in the studio today in Leamington. Kevin's from Windsor. We're chatting about the new album. It's a collection of tracks that he has brought together over a period of 30 to 40 years playing music, predominantly as a bass player, but as you hear from the tracks we're listening to today, he's also pretty good as an electric guitar player as well, as though it's interesting though when I talk to him about his electric guitar playing, he's always like, well, you know, I'm not, I think you said in one of the videos or something that you were, you're not as fast as some people, but you do a pretty good job, I think.
Well, like I said, I'm not fast or flashy, but I get out what I want to express, and basically that's all I want to do with it.
Yeah. When we were talking about the scene in Windsor, it certainly has changed quite a bit compared to back at the day.
Right.
How many bars are actually, you know, great places for you to be playing in Windsor these days?
Well, we've got the ones that are Average Joe's, Charlie's, the old Club Alouette, which is now called Rockstar, the Backstage. There's not really too many large venues left.
Yeah. And do you think that streaming has had a huge impact in, you know, the way that, you know, people are not putting out music in quite the same way? I know, you know, shifting from vinyl to CD and now to streaming, certainly as far as radio is concerned, really has upended the whole business.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether, you know, from the point of view of live music, whether you know, what you see as the main changes there.
Well, a lot of people are preferring to stay at home rather than go out to the bars, not only because of the drinking driving laws, the no smoking in the bars anymore, and, you know, just people just don't want to be bothered, seemingly. But there, you do get some that just, you know, they come out to a performance, you know, not just to hear it, but to feel the experience of the music, like to hear the thump of that bass drum and, you know, the scream of that guitar lead and, you know, and watch actual people doing it. And as long as we still have people that, you know, that want to see and hear that, you know, that's about the only reason we'll keep playing.
Right, right. Now, this album you recorded at OMS Entertainment, and I think Jeffrey David Oppen produced it with you, right?
That's right, yes.
Now, he's also involved in the album because he actually sings on one of the tracks, actually the only vocal on the album. This song, I sense, is a track that's really important to you. It's entitled One or the Other.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this song.
Okay, this one here was an unfinished work. I just basically had all the chord structure written down, tucked away in a book for about 10 years. And I just, out of a whim, I pulled it out just, you know, to try a few things with, because I wanted to put at least one more song on this compilation. And I do some blues jams with Jeff every once in a while. We get together at a studio and we jam out some blues tracks together, both on guitar, and we have some fun. And he offered to help me finish, not only do this project, but also to help finish that song, which I think he did a magnificent job of, both on guitar. He programmed the drums with it just the way I wanted them to sound. And he had an idea for some vocals. That's the only vocal track on there. I thought that was kind of ironic. But I didn't want to do the singing. I really don't like the sound of my voice. I'm good enough for a backup singer, but I'm not really strong enough to be a lead singer. Like, I could do the background harmonies, that, no problem. Jeff has got an excellent voice, and it's just fit for what I was trying to express on there. The lyrics that he came up with, he did a few different ones there. We read through them, tried them out, and that he came on something that struck, because I wanted to make like a tune that would express a thanks to anybody whose partner goes out, straps on an instrument every night and goes and play and do what he loves, and their partner doesn't stand in their way, just lets them out and do what they do, and they don't give them that choice, one or the other, me or the music.
Okay. And so that, I imagine that I was, when I was listening to this for the first time, I thought, well, yeah, it was, you know, there must be huge numbers of musicians that have that big dilemma, you know, that, you know, they, with partners that may not necessarily understand why they need to get out and play every day.
Yeah, well, especially if you get somebody that's always working all the time, like they got a business or something, they're pretty much married to that business, and pretty soon your partner gets neglected. Right. You know, my wife never felt that way, you know, and I'm grateful for that. Because she knows I was, you know, from the start, that this is what I do, this is who I am, and I'm going to pursue this for as far as it takes me. And she never stood in my way once.
Yeah. Let's listen to that song just now. This is Kevin Gagnon with One or the Other, with vocals from Jeffrey David, and this is from his great new compilation album, It Is What It Is. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. That's Kevin Gagnon with One or the Other from his new album. It's entitled It Is What It Is. Kevin Gagnon is our special guest in the studio chatting about the project. I wanted to ask you about the future. I mean, you will just continue playing music as long as you can?
Basically, that's my plan. Like, I don't really have a retirement plan, as you might say. Like, due to a series of unfortunate events, I'm going to have to continue working for as long as I can. So to supplement that, I try to go out and play as much as I can, because it helps out with gas money, groceries as well. Plus, you know, if I spot a nice little bass I might like, you never know.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, all musicians need more instruments than they can possibly ever play.
Yeah, of course. I could never have too many, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You record, I think, most of the original tracks for this album were recorded with you on bass and guitar and drum programming. Exactly. Are you continuing to work on new material?
Once in a while, I do get some urges to put something together to see how it sounds like, and I have a little 8-track at home now that I can fool around with and try different ideas before I want to put something concrete down. That's sort of my sketch pad.
Yeah. Do you get a chance to play any of these tracks, you know, with the bands that you're working with? I mean, I did wonder, was there a CD launch for the album? Did you get to play these on stage in front of an audience? Does that ever happen?
No. I don't think it'll really fit what we're doing as far as the formula, because it's just a little bit too much avant-garde to what we're doing. We're basically a classic rock band.
Yeah.
And people come out to hear the classic rock. And
yeah.
I really had no ambition to put something out, to play something out live with it. You know, I'd have to throw a band together and do it the way I'd want to do it. But I just put it out as it is, basically.
Well, you know, I got to say, when I listened to these tracks, I thought I would come to that show. I think that would be a really fun show to hear these tracks played live.
Yeah, but it never occurred to me to do that. I just wanted to put them out. Like I said, it was more or less as a legacy project for me that I wanted to put this out, and I released it actually on my birthday, for the 60th birthday, and I've just been very proud of that I actually have something out there, just to say I have something out there that people can actually listen to and hear what I really sound like and what I can come up with musically.
No, it's great. If people want to check out the videos for Kevin Gagnon, you can find him on YouTube. There's about 7 or 8 different videos of Kevin playing bass and an electric guitar, so definitely check those out as well. What I would like to do is to finish off with one more track. We're going to finish off with A Walk in the Park, which is more of a, this one has a little bit of a funk to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it's got more like a springy kind of funk kind of feel to it. And it's just, if you're walking along, it's just sort of like a background music to somebody walking through a park. That's the way I kind of pictured it.
And I think people can find you on Reverb Nation and other places on the web.
That's right, yep.
Yeah. And remind us about when you play in Windsor, if people want to head out and catch you.
Actually, we play quite a bit with the formula. We're slowing down for the holidays now, but we're picking up back in January. But we're usually playing at Average Joe's or Rockstar or Charlie's, whichever in the band. And I always post on my Facebook page wherever we're playing. So I can be found on Facebook, Kevin K. Gagnon. If anybody wants to check it out, I always post where we're playing.
No, that's great. And I love the little videos, so you'll have to keep making those.
Well, definitely. It's always a lot of fun. It's, if the wife gets a new tablet, she likes to test out the video. So what better way, right?
Well, we were talking about, with partners who, you know, need to understand that, you know, music is what you do. So what you do is you buy them something new, like a tablet, and then say, hey, come and videotape me playing guitar.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Kevin Gagnon, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio today. This is Kevin Gagnon with A Walk in the Park from his new album, It Is What It Is. You're listening to Funk Roots Radio, and I'm John Hall. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.